Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan, Seibel, Starkey, and Miller. Looking ahead to the fall a little bit, guys, and certainly the Pitt-West Virginia rivalry is going to be changing this year because the two head coaches have changed and the offensive philosophies have changed somewhat as well. And half of that is joining us on the Rivertown Hotline right now. New West Virginia Mountaineer head coach Daniel Holgorsen. Coach, appreciate you taking some time. Certainly a life full of changes ever since the last college football season ended as you came over as the coach in waiting. Now you're the coach, and there have been some discussion points along the way. I'm just curious how the how you're finding West Virginia right now and just where this football program is in the beginning of July.
I think it's in good shape. You know, I mean, there's obviously been some transition here over the last 6 months, in particular here in the last month. But I think the program's in great shape. You know, we don't have to change much. You know, I mean, our defensive staff's good and our scheme's good. You know, I'd like to think that the offensive staff that was brought in and the scheme that was brought in is pretty solid. You know, we've made some changes with our special teams. Our strength coaches are doing a good job this summer. Our players are working hard, and they're used to winning. So I think the program's in good shape.
Coach, the most recent transition has been the whole Bill Stewart story. You are now the head football coach after that whole situation. How big of a transition was that for you, your coaching staff, and I guess more importantly, the players?
Not a whole lot for our players, not a whole lot for our coaches, honestly, because, you know, we're like I just mentioned, we really don't have to change anything, you know, so it's not like they got to, right in the middle of summer, change a scheme or learn something new. You know, both players and coaches, the schemes are in. You know, they've been working hard ever since spring ball got over, and they can take what they did in spring and they can continue to try to get better at it all summer. You know, I think it's been a big transition as far as what I've been going through here over the last 3 or 4 weeks, but I knew it was coming eventually. I've been preparing myself for a long time for this to happen. Just we wanted to fast forward 6 months and get it rolling right now.
Coach, by the time news happens there, by the time it trickles down our way, probably changes 4 or 5 times, but a lot of scutterbutt about almost the locker room being divided in who people would want as the head coach. Now that it's your job, now that it's your, do you see it? What'd you tell the kids, and do you see everybody being on the same page?
Yeah, I told them if they wanted to win, they better get on the same page. That starts at the top, you know, and yeah, you guys know. I mean, West Virginia is not big enough to be divided. I mean, we gotta remain united, you know, as a state. We gotta remain united as the administration, and then that trickle down into the coaches and the players and all the rest. So, the one thing I did tell them is they better be united, because we're gonna be better together, and we're not going to be very good, and we're not going to be able to win a championship if we got people that aren't on the same page.
Talking to West Virginia football coach Dana Holgorsen here on Seibel, Starkey, and Miller. And Dana, there obviously a lot of reports came out about you, and there was definitely one incident that your athletic director commented on and said that really can't happen. Was the thing that happened at the casino an isolated incident, or were there other things that have happened, a pattern of behavior that you needed to kind of curtail?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything to worry about on that end. You know, I mean, that's all stuff that's been discussed, and there's no need in going back to that. You know, I mean, the one thing that we decided a month ago, if it was indeed a month ago, I can't remember. I mean, time kind of slips. You know, you kind of lose track of time here when things are kind of hectic. But, you know, when we made the decision to go forward with this, you know, and obviously I've had the support of Oliver Luck and Dr. Clements since day one. Wouldn't have taken the job and got into the situation if I didn't have their support. You know, so when we decided to go ahead and do this, I told them I was on board, and we're all about moving forward, you know. So where we're at right now with where everything is we're excited about August 4th when the players report, and we're excited about preparing to try to win that first game.
Apparently no love lost, Dana, between you and the Pitt coaching staff here. We know in the past there's been some, I don't know if I want to call them run-ins, with you and Todd Graham. Can you kind of give us your version of that relationship?
Oh, I don't know him very well. I mean, I've competed hard against him. He's a good football coach. I tell you, he's done some good things at the places that he's been. You know, I mean, when he went to Rice, he turned it around and won. When he went to Tulsa, he turned it around and won. When he went to Now he's at Pitt, and I don't know how much of a turnaround that Pitt needs. They've been winning games anyway, but you know, he's done a good job, you know, and he's won some games. So, you know, you got to respect guys like that. And when we lined up to compete against them for the last 3 years, it didn't matter if it was him or if it was the University of Texas or if it was, you know, Skip Holtz of East Carolina or whoever it was. It doesn't matter who it was. You got to try to do your best to win, you know. So that's how we approach each game. And we're going to approach the first one against Marshall, which, you know, you can say the same thing about that. There's no love lost between those two staffs. But, you know, I don't view it like that. I view it as what we got to do to attack the schemes that we think that they were going to play and try to get our players motivated to go out there and want to win.
Coach, is there something in the past about players faking injury or anything like that?
Yeah, I've heard it's happened in the past. You know, I've you know, it's been addressed by the NCAA to where it's considered unsportsmanlike conduct. So, you know, I don't know if that's on anybody's mind or not, but we're not doing it at West Virginia.
Well, tell me this then, Coach, because we're talking about the backyard brawl, and it seemed to almost be warm and fuzzy between Dave Wannstedt and Bill Stewart. I'm not saying that necessarily that you and Ty Graham need to throw down the gloves and start wailing at each other at the 50-yard line, although people would probably be entertained by that. But do you feel that there's a good, healthy football hatred, perhaps good rivalry hatred in between these two football programs again?
Well, that's what I hear. You know, I haven't experienced the backyard brawl yet, which I'm looking forward to it because it sounds like it's a whole lot of fun. There's a whole bunch of rivalries out there that, you know, that are just fun to play in, and this is one of them. You know, last year I experienced the Oklahoma State Bedlam thing, which that thing was a back and forth, tons of energy, wild finish. Either team could have won. We came up just a little bit short, and Oklahoma goes on to win the Big 12 championship, but That's just fun to be in. You know, as a coach, you know, you don't have to work extra hard on motivating your players to play in those games. You know, I mean, you do what you can to figure out the schemes and what you need to do offensively, defensively, and special teams-wise to attack what you think you're going to get. But the whole psychological edge on everything as far as trying to get them motivated to play, you know, you don't have to work as hard on that week. So it should be a bunch of fun. You know, you can talk about hatred and all this and hatred all that all you want to. That's pretty much for the fans to indulge in. And us as players and coaches are going to, you know, just do what we got to do, which is within the lines of our job to try to win the game.
Talking to West Virginia football coach Dana Holgorsen here on Seibel, Starkey, and Miller. And Dana, under Rich Rodriguez, West Virginia rose to national prominence. Really, they were a national power. Clearly, the program slipped under Bill Stewart. In your mind, what's your timetable for getting back to where Coach Rodriguez had the program?
It should be this year. You know, our kids are used to winning. You know, and you know, there's no reason why we can't line up in that first game and win that one and then regroup and line up in the second game against Norfolk State and win that one and then just take that approach for each and every game. I don't see any game on the schedule that you know, and this is not something that I've ever done or encouraged anybody to ever do, but everybody does it to the point where you look at that schedule and you put a plus or a minus by most of them, you know. You go through the whole schedule and try to pick what your thing is. I mean, I don't encourage anybody to do that, but there's nobody on the schedule that I just look at it and get incredibly, you know, really, 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 really frightened to the point where we got to line up and play the Pittsburgh Steelers and probably aren't going to win that game or anything. So, yeah, our kids are used to winning. You know, the expectations are is to win a championship, and we're going into the season with you know, a bunch of experienced guys that are used to winning and coaches that expect to win at the points where we will expect to do that every time we line up.
Well, most everywhere you look, people picking West Virginia to win the Big East, and it sounds from what you're saying, Dana, that you like that role. You like being the favorite going in.
Oh, it doesn't matter. You know, I mean, it. You know, last year we were picked last in the Big 12 South. That didn't matter to me either when it was at Oklahoma State. The year before that, we were picked first at Houston, and we ended up, you know, getting to the championship game and you know, lost at East Carolina in that game, but we ended up getting there. So, you know, I've been on both sides. You know, when we're at Texas Tech, we're always picked like second or third, you know, and we always finished a little higher than expectations with what we kind of thought we were. So, and none of that matters. It depends on how you approach the season. If you approach it to, you know, we're going to listen to the media and try to figure out where we're going to finish the season, and that's really not what our job is. So, our job is to get better in camp and line up against Marshall and try to win.
Coach, let's finish up with the most important position on the field. Certainly with your offensive system, that'd be the guy putting his hands under the center in Geno Smith. An erratic year from a year ago, but then again, he was young. What did you see on tape, and what's the number one thing he's got to work on before you guys kick off the season?
Well, you know, he's a competitive kid now, and I didn't really watch any tape from last year. You know, sat in the hotel room in San Antonio and watched the bowl game. It was about all I really did from his perspective. So, you know, I watched him 15 days in spring, and I'm looking at a guy that, you know, is incredibly knowledgeable. He's got a lot of experience. I mean, he played 3 years in high school down there in South Florida in a good program, good competition, played a lot of football, had a lot of success, came in, didn't redshirt, played periodically, and then played a lot last year, so he's got a lot of experience. He is still young. You think he's a lot older than he is when you talk to him and his maturity and the amount of experience that he's got. But he just got to play. He got to get out and he's got to play and he's got to mature and he's got to get a little bit better at everything. I can't really pinpoint one thing that he's just got to get so much better at. I can pinpoint about 20 things that he just needs to improve, and if he does that, then he'll be a pretty good player.
Coach, just one last question. Back when the coaching search was really spinning and your name was out there, long before you landed in West Virginia, your name stirred up an awful lot of excitement given your resume and the offenses that you've coached in the past. What was that process like for you, and did you feel like the hot coach in the country at the time?
Yeah, I didn't pay any attention to it. I mean, you can't. I mean, my job was to try to win the Big 12 South, help Oklahoma State try to win the Big 12 South, and you know, all that stuff was going on. I didn't pay any attention to it. I mean, I wasn't chasing any jobs. Just happy with one I had, and when I started my conversations with Oliver, I mean, West Virginia, I knew was a place that had tradition and were used to winning and had a tremendous amount of support and had a little bit of a national appeal to it. So that, and just I trusted him and knew that everything that he had his hands on, he had made better than it was before he got his hands on it. So I fully expect him to do that at West Virginia, make everything just a little bit better. So I just felt like it was a good opportunity. I didn't pay attention to the rest of them.
Well, certainly Big East football is a lot more interesting coming up on this season than it has been the last couple of years. Coach, I appreciate you spending a few moments with us.
Guys, I appreciate you having me on. Y'all have a good evening, okay?